The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, let's get going here. It's Tuesday. Welcome back. Hope you had a wonderful day today. Kind of a corny expression, but I mean it. And if you didn't, I hope tomorrow's better. It's not a good world out there, and I just think that we have to take note of it. We have to look at it objectively and honestly. We can't hide it. And those who say, I don't want to hear about all those negative things, well, that's okay. That's their right. But it's rather like the ostrich. Although I sometimes wonder who's dumber. Okay, first up tonight is our friend, George Filer, who has been on this program for many years. And George, of course, is the director of the Mutual UFO Network Eastern Division. He is a retired major in the U.S. Air Force who has chased UFOs, airborne. He has seen them on radar. He has spent decades and decades researching this. Ultimately, he has to be viewed as a professional military man with secret and top secret clearance who did briefings for some of the top military brass. George Filer is a gentleman's gentleman, and it's always a pleasure to have him on. We have two special guests standing by as well. So hello, George in Dreadford, New Jersey. Or is that Medford?
Medford.
You know, there's a Medford in Oregon, too.
Right, I know that. Well, it's a beautiful night in New Jersey over here, overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
How near the boardwalk are you?
Well, that's down in Atlantic City. I guess that's...
half an hour away?
45 minutes. 45, all right.
I saw a little featurette about the boardwalk there, which was videotaped at the height of summer. There was no one there. There were hardly any people on the boardwalk. And these huge casinos, and there was another one just closed recently. I guess the boardwalk in Atlantic City, as far as gambling and Las Vegas East, have seen their peak and they're in severe decline. So,
yeah, several have closed and, well.
Left you with nothing to do, right?
Unfortunately, depending on your viewpoint.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Now, we have for all of you folks as a reminder that George puts out the world's best weekly or monthly UFO ET. I know. I'm saying no matter what it is, yours is the best, you see. It's called weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, bi-weekly, bisexually. It doesn't matter. Filers Files, issues up there, number 37, 38, and 39 for you. I don't know how much time we'll get to have to look at those tonight because we have Frank's very good friend, George's very good friend. Well, he's Frank's friend, too. Frank Chile is on tonight, and we have a return visitor who is sitting on a pretty hot property, as they say. Hello, Frank. Are you there?
I'm here. Good evening, Jeff. It's a pleasure to join you once again.
Thank you. It's good to have you back on the program. I'll be putting up in a few minutes Craig Campobasso's trailer to his film, Stranger in the Pentagon. It'll be right under guests in the top section where Craig's name is, obviously. And you'll be able to see the trailer for the film. This is going to be fun because the film was entered in the Burbank Film Festival. I guess that's a pretty prestigious event in Southern Cal. And, we'll find out what happened in a few minutes. George, have you seen the trailer? I'm sure you have. What do you think of it?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I was out with Craig in Los Angeles. We were together for a couple of days. Actually, I was making, Hangar One TV. And we got together and had a great time together. But I didn't get to see his film. We spent a lot of time together, but we didn't look at the trailer.
Well, I'm putting the trailer up for it, and this is not as I remember from his last visit, a full-length feature film in the can at this time. But enough of it has been done to enter it, and we'll find out more about that in a minute. Frank, you want to introduce Craig to us again?
Sure. Craig Campobasso is a film director, a casting director. He was worked with Frank Herbert regarding Dune.
Oh, yeah.
He's directed Sky Captains in the World of Tomorrow and got a chance to befriend and become very close with Dr. Frank Strange the last 7-8 years of his life and got immersed in the Valiant Thor story and got a chance to work with Dr. Strange's in his dream of having this made into a film script and made into a film, and Craig's taken it to that second hurdle, which is a short film. He got the screenplay done and a short film made and getting recognition.
Well, that's a major achievement anymore. You know, I occasionally get to glance at television, and what I'm seeing on television, and maybe Craig can back. Oh heck, let's introduce Craig first. Hello, Craig. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jeff. How are you? Hi, Frank. Hi, George.
Hi. Good evening.
I think we're all in pretty good shape here. It's good to have you back, especially since the good news that has happened since you were on before. Tell us what happened.
Yeah.
You entered the film, the short film, in the Burbank Film Festival. How long is short, by the way?
Well, a short film is, it depends on the festival, but it's anywhere from 40 minutes or below or 30 minutes or below, but it's usually 30 minutes or below. Stranger at the Pentagon, the short film, ended up being 24 minutes and 24 seconds.
That's actually plenty long to tell a neat little story, at least get people's appetites stimulated.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we also had another achievement is we were the very first film ever, short or feature length, at the Burbank Film Festival that sold out all 275 seats for the screening.
Nice. Well,
and so they did put on another screening that night, and there was, unbeknownst to me, you know, there was so much press there going on, all these, you know, different sci-fi places, and you know, Paula Harris was our interviewer. She interviewed all the actors and a lot of the things there as well with our camera. And the star, one of our stars, Eileen Davidson, who plays Valiant Thor's wife, Dina, won an Emmy this year for Days of Our Life, but she's now a new housewife of Beverly Hills. So she brought the Bravo cameras along with Lisa Vanderpump, Lisa Rinna, and Kyle Richards. So we're going to also be on a whole episode of The Housewives of Beverly Hills with Stranger at the Pentagon.
How's that going to work? Wow.
Well, they came and they filmed them at the screening and, you know, all their interactions there. And then also at the after party, we had a very big after party. And so, you know, it sort of goes on in, you know, however... You know, however they make that, however they do that show, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it all depends on how they cut things in as well. But when the film was done, Lisa Rinna and Lisa Vanderpump looked at me and they said, "I have never in my life heard this story. This is so fantastic. I want to know more. I actually want to read the book." And that's exactly the reaction that we wanted to get, you know, well, from people.
So the promise of the one sheet poster was more than fulfilled. You folks can see this if you click on the link that will be up and hit reload if it's not there yet under Craig's name or right next to Craig's name and go there, go to this page and look. It's really a terrific poster for this film. Terrific.
Yeah, it's great. A guy by the name of Roy Young did that for us. He's one of the top guys. Man, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, if you actually even look at the background, it's the American flag, but it's also the beams of the ship, and it's, you know, there's the universal stars, and then there's the stars of the American flag, and there's all these little subtleties, and there's Venus in the background, you know, right next to Valiant Thor's head looking at the Pentagon. So, yeah, the poster is very sought after.
Well, that's a keeper.
You know,
you could sell those. That's a wall poster.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, people can check everything out at strangeratthepentagon.com as well. We have all the videos, and they can get the book and all that stuff there as well. So,
Which of the trailers, Craig, would you recommend people look at?
Well, the trailer for the movie, I think people will really get a kick out of because you get to see some of the visual effects, you know, that are in the film, and you know it's a really good sort of teaser trailer that you know really. You know, you really want to see it once you've seen that. So I would say to watch that.
How is it labeled? Now, one of them is labeled Pleiades, and then you've got four below that. There's a start button on the black box called Pleiades. Is that the trailer for the film?
That's the trailer right there, yeah.
That's my
production company, Pleiades Productions. So that's the actual trailer, and then there's little in between. There's little sort of teasers we had on the internet playing over these past couple of years, you know, preparing people for the short film. And then at the very bottom of the page is a little video, 7-8 minute video I did telling the story, and then I put Dr. Frank at the end telling part of the story in his own words. And I think I've had that up for about 2 years, and we're almost at 83,000 hits on it. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good.
That is good. Very good.
Yeah,
very good indeed.
That's really good.
So in this day and age...
Yep. Did I lose you guys? Hello?
Well, we're right here.
You're back.
We're here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
We got four people on different lines, so we're all right. With so many science fiction films, Craig, I mean, they're falling through the rafters now. How do you approach investors to push this to the next level?
Well, this movie has a hook that no other movie has. This is a movie that people, you know, from the era of the 50s and the 60s all the way to date, because this, you know, this took place in the 50s, that they want to see it. But it's also because it's not only based on science fiction, it's actually based on science fact. And we're telling the story from Valiant Thor's point of view. And so in the short film, you get to see half of the short film is at the Pentagon and the White House, and the other half is actually on board Victor 1, his, you know, 300-foot in diameter spacecraft, and also on board this giant mothership. I mean, we have a sweeping shot of the landing bay that people can actually see. Jeff, if you're on the website, if you go to stills and you sort of scroll down, you'll see a lot of the visual effects stills. So,
I have a question. I'm at 127 on the little piece of film that has 83,000 views, and there's a black and white picture, and I'm not listening to it, but I assume that's a photo of Valiant Thor.
Yeah, if he's
the profile,
it's a side
look,
view.
Left profile.
Profile picture. Yeah. That's a photograph.
That guy is,
of him
he's, let's be honest, he's impossibly good looking. I mean, that guy didn't look human.
Yep.
I mean, that's a perfect A-line major motion picture star for a career.
It is. It is. And actually, if you actually study every feature, including his ears and his fingers everything, you see that there is an absolute perfection there. And, you know, when you're in a class, he's a created being. When you're in that class, you know, you're built to perfection. You're not only perfected on the inside, but you're also, you know, that inward beauty is also perfected outwardly as well.
So you're saying I can't go to Whole Life and buy this supplement?
Well, I've tried, but it, you know.
All right.
Doesn't work.
Okay. George Feiler, this is a film that I think whose time has certainly come. I have great regret and remorse that I was never able to get Frank Stranges on the program. I've covered the story, but I didn't get Frank when he was still alive. Tell us more about this, George, and your experience. You've met Frank Stranges.
Yes, but we were speaking together, you know, on a conference. I don't know if it was Pat Mercatelli, but he had a conference in Trenton, New Jersey on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
In any case, Frank was speaking, and I was also on the, you know, later in the day speaking. And so I met him, and we had some conversation, and I think we had dinner, but I'm not positive he was there. But that
missing time, eh, George? I see.
But in any case, this was, you know, 10 years ago or so. My memory isn't perfect, but I did meet him, and he seemed like a real gentleman.
Yeah, and everybody says that.
He was
perfect.
A Christian and a pastor. And
Nothing to gain by making something up. Yeah, that's the same old.
Right. And a lot of people don't know as well, he was a marshal.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he actually had a badge. And when I flew with him, you know, he would show his marshal badge. He could carry a gun, and he could actually stop people on the street. He actually had a siren and the whole thing.
Who would want to?
I know. Well, he used to.
Yeah, well, now you stop people on the street now, you take your life in your hand.
Yes, you do.
Times have changed. Frank, you tell us about Mr. Stranges and his... It's a very strange name, but that was his name, Frank Stranges.
It's an Italian name. It's an Italian name.
Yeah.
I got a chance to meet him when I lived in Southern California in the late 70s. My brother Simon and I attended the Rainbow Rose Festival, which was held in Los Angeles. And it was a three-day event, and he was one of the speakers, and got a chance to go backstage and talk to him and his wife. And I said, Dr. Strangis, when's the last time you had seen Val? And he said, I saw him today before coming here.
Oh, my.
I said,
wow.
I said, is there anything you could share about it? And his wife chimed in right away. She said, he came in the doorway, and he walked right into the house, as he normally would do. And she said she was sitting at the dining room table in a straight-back chair with her back to the door. And she said she was suffering a terrible migraine headache. And she said it's like Val sensed that she was in discomfort and came up behind her and put a hand on each one of her shoulders. And I said, Mrs. Strangis, what was your experience? And she looked at me, and it were like tears in her eyes, Jeff, George, and Craig. And she said she felt as if the presence of the Lord had moved through her. And she said the pain disappeared instantly, and it had not returned.
Well, a wonderful little anecdote, amazing little stories. So many involved with this whole story. The
right.
next...
Craig,
go ahead.
Jeff, can I make a suggestion to Craig? To tell the story of the visitor that Dr. Strange's father and mother had gotten a chance to meet.
Okay,
well,
Craig, hold on. We're coming up on a break. Let me this break, but we got about a minute to the break. But let me ask you, what ideally would you like to see happen to your project next?
Well, we'd like to. We have the whole script, the business plan, and now a very expensive sizzle reel in our award-winning short film. Because as you know, we did win the Burbank Film Festival Best Sci-Fi Short. So we have an entertainment attorney who's done tons of the big studio films. So our next thing is, approaching investors or having investors approach us. Right now we have a budget of about $22 million. We can make it for more or a little less. That just sort of compromises the visual effects, because it's a big visual effects movie.
So we're ready
to rock and roll. We can start tomorrow if we had the money.
Okay, this is a CGI spectacular in addition to a fascinating story.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's amazing. I wouldn't expect a lot of people to be killed in this kind of a production. What kind of CGI are we talking about?
Well, it's a lot of the stuff of the giant starship.
Yeah.
All the stuff, that's in the ship, all of the different rooms and things. Dr. Frank, I have the giant blueprints to Victor One, and they're Victor class saucer fleets is what they call them. Each saucer is 300 feet in diameter. Each one holds up to 200 people. They have full crews, and there are 103 of these craft stationed in and around the Earth on top of this giant starship that's stationed above the Earth as well, which people can see if you go look on the Stranger at the Pentagon website and go through the pages.
Wait a second. There's a huge ship in orbit with 103, 300 foot in diameter, 100 yard in diameter, saucer type craft that are attending it or stationed with it.
Which are stationed in and around the Earth that are monitoring.
Well, all right. Now that's something that should not be able to escape detection, but that said, these people have technology which can make them obviously invisible to any normal types of primitive Earth radar, LIDAR, sonar, whatever. And we'll be right back and hear the story in just a couple of minutes as we continue. Glad you're along tonight, folks. Hang on. Okay, welcome back. Let's get right back to our program. Frank Chile and Craig Campobasso and George Filer. It's George's night, of course, and he was kind enough to share, as he always will, and bring this information to you. The trailer, Stranger at the Pentagon, is only 42 seconds long. Correct? Is that right, Craig? Are you there, Craig? Oh.
Well, I'm here. Oh, can you hear me?
Okay.
Sorry, I put myself on mute.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's another word for euthanasia some places, so be careful. All right, Stranger at the Pentagon, or the Pentagram, as I call it, is only 42 seconds long.
It's a quickie trailer.
All right.
It's a quickie. It's a little teaser trailer.
All right, let me play this for our folks here. Hold on.
All right.
We've heard of your arrival from many sources.
Quite extraordinary.
Capital City's president is considering signing an agreement with them for their technology. Earth is in grave danger.
Oh, that's good. That is a very, very slick little piece of audio video tease. You're right.
Yeah, it's a good little teaser. It makes you want to see it.
I would go see it.
Yeah.
I would even pay.
Actually,
I wouldn't tell
Jeff,
him. I know, Craig. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, can I tell everybody where they can see it next if they want to see it in person?
Sure. Oh, yes. So you're running. You're moving it around, the 24-minute film. Okay. Tell us.
Right. No, I'm just saying, you know, if anybody wants to come see me talk about it and see the film in person,
okay,
I'm going to be out at the Back to the Future Nostalgia UFOs and Consciousness Seminar at the Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada on Friday, November 14th. So I'll be showing the film there and doing a question and answer time and all that. So if anybody's interested in that, they can go to StarWorksUSA.com to register. So it's a whole weekend filled with, you know, great presenters and things like that. Everybody from Steve Bassett to Jaime Musan and Regina Meredith from Gaiam TV and fellow filmmaker Paul Davis, who, as we all know, did Roswell.
Oh, yeah, I've had Paul on the program when that came out. Yeah,
absolutely.
Paula Harris is putting this event on.
Yeah, she is. She is. So so we'll be out there November 14th, 15th, and 16th. So,
very good.
People can just go to StarWorksUSA.com to register.
Okay. I've got to bring George in here real quick. Then you tell your story.
Right.
George, what
all
did
right.
you think of the trailer? It's kind of a joke question there.
Wonderful. I think this story should be brought out to the public.
Oh, absolutely.
We're being visited.
Yeah. I was kidding because you didn't see it. You just heard it. But
he just heard it.
It was good, George. Take my word for it.
I saw that trailer before.
Oh, okay. Now, has William Shatner been involved with this in any way? Have you chatted with him? Have you said anything?
You know, it was funny. There was a day where I was working on the film so much, and I just had this inkling to go to my favorite sushi place on Ventura Boulevard after I left the office. And I went, and I was there by myself, just relaxing, taking a deep breath, and I look up, and sitting right across from me was William Shatner.
Stuffing himself with sushi. All right.
Yes, stuffing himself with sushi.
He's a character.
So,
he is a character.
He is a character, yeah. He is.
Okay, tell us your story. You're going to give us a
which one was
look.
I telling? I forgot.
I don't know. Frank,
wait,
which one was
it? Which one was it, Frank? Oh, the one with Dr. Frank's parents.
The parent.
With his parents. Yeah, it's actually a really cool story because, you know, Dr. Frank had told his parents about, you know, meeting him, and they were, you know, his father especially was, you know, he had a very thick Italian accent, and he says, you know, he used to call them, instead of flying saucers, he called them flying sausages, you know, to make a joke of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and said, you know, please don't tell people, you know, I don't want to, we don't want anybody to think the strangest family is a strange, he would say, you know. So, anyway, long story short, one day, you know, as all the, I'm Italian, so all my father's parents and all that, you always went to Little Italy and you got, you know, you went to the bread store, you went to the meat store, you went to the, you know, all the different stores. And anyway, he, you know, he went and did that and he had his arms full, and this gentleman came up to him and asked him if he would like some help and spoke to him in Italian. And they kept walking, and he said he'd help him on the bus. And he says, well, here, let me get on the bus with you. And he says, oh, and he, you know, he said that he knew Frank. And he said, oh, you know my Frankie. And he ended up getting off the bus, and he walked him home to help him carry the bags in doors. Oh, nice. He met Dr. Frank's wife, and she, you know, she said, you know, asked him if he'd like to stay for dinner, and, you know, he politely declined, and they said their goodbyes, and they stood at the window watching him walk down the street, and they saw him disappear, and they realized who it was at that moment, and they ran to the book and looked at the picture, and they went, it's him, it's him, it's a him. You know, that's my bad Italian accent. It's a him, it's a him. So, you know, as I do it in a very bad Italian accent.
We've chatted about this before, but as far as we know, he's still here.
He is supposedly still here, as were the last words of Dr. Frank, and he wasn't going anywhere until the transformation of Earth is complete.
Transformation? That's one
transformation
way to look at it.
Of going out
transformed,
of a dualistic...
All right.
Going out of a dualistic society into a more harmonic one. So,
well, if we survive it, the transition is not easy. I wonder if he snuck into the theater in Burbank.
Well, you know, one never knows. you know, there were always, everywhere Dr. Frank went, there was always a couple of people from the ship or one of the ships present. So I bet you there were some people there who were present as well. You know, it really was an amazing evening.
Very good. Okay, well, you're obviously a happy father, and I'm really pleased to hear that it went so well.
Yes.
This is great. All right, hold on. We'll come right back after this very short timeout as we continue on this Tuesday night. George Filer, we have three issues up there of Filer's Files now. You want to take a look at one of them real quick here? They're put together so well, I always like to mosey through them when I can. 37, 38, or 39, what would you like to point to?
I don't have any preference.
Gee, what a humble guy. Come on, they're all great. All right, what would our listeners like? You always do feature stories.
Well, recently, I don't know if people remember, but I spent 20 years as an intelligence officer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very concerned about what's happening in the Middle East, Syria, and Iraq.
It's a mess. It's not going to go away for years. That's what they say.
Particularly with ISIS.
Correct.
Islamic State that they now call themselves. I don't think of them as really members of Islam, but they're certainly doing terrible things. And I wrote in 40 that ISIS has a record of attacking schools and beheading children that they will likely attempt in the West. When the police and parents rush to the schools in the suburban and rural areas, they will ambush them to the maximum publicity. Now, that's a pretty tough situation, but that's the way they operate.
Correct. And they could do it here, too. It's not hard to penetrate this country. It has no southern border. Hell, they could fly in here under guise of being a refugee or anything else. And these things are easily perpetrated. Correct.
Well, I know a number of remote viewers and people with inside knowledge who have picked up on that particular statement and said that it's quite likely to happen in the United States. They're mm-hmm. trying to obviously stop it any way they can. But I think it's important that the public realize that.
Well, we just had a black American who had converted to Islam behead a woman not 3 weeks ago.
In Oklahoma City.
That's right.
And the only way he was stopped, he was stabbing another lady. The only way he was stopped, the fellow who was CEO of the company happened to also be a secondary policeman type thing.
He was an off-duty security
officer. Authorized to carry a gun, and he
right.
shot him.
Yep. He didn't shoot him good enough, but he shot him.
The point is that I want to warn our listeners that there's a great deal of danger out there, and if they see anything suspicious, report it.
Oh, see, now that's a very, excuse me, George, but that's a very responsible thing to say. And sadly, it also encourages what I call, and you would too, a snitch culture. Here we are so afraid, so paranoid, but in reality, we have to be. That you're always looking around and you want to report something that looks a little odd, which could be completely innocuous and innocent. So, they're winning without even doing anything in some cases because they're contributing to the anxiety of the populace at large. Mix in all the other things, the crashed, dying economy, the loss of the middle class. Now we've got Ebola. We've got enterovirus D68, and that's a bad enterovirus. It's been here before, but not in this particular form. It's different. So anyway, lots going on constantly. It's true, but we've got to be careful, got to prepare, and we've got to be intelligent about life and living. Anyway, Frank, you wanted to say something?
We've never needed off-planet intervention. It certainly now, wouldn't it?
Well, it's
to be the fact?
Absolutely, and this goes back to 1951, the film The Day the Earth Stood Still. Was that an inspiration to you, Craig, at all?
Well, I always loved The Day the Earth Stood Still, and I believe it came out in 52 or 53, and then, Valiant Thor arrived in 57 to 60, so it kind of makes you wonder if, those thoughts were sort of implanted beforehand to see how a world might accept something like that, because we do know that Gene Roddenberry also talked about knowing that everything he received on making Star Trek, he knew he was getting from somewhere up there. That he felt it. So,
it was 1951, to be accurate. In case you folks want to look it up on IMDb or anything, you'll find it.
When it was released.
Correct. A terrific film.
Relief, yeah.
And
great film.
The idea of off-planet intervention, not sending some ambassadors down here to talk nicey-nice to a bunch of lunatics and convince them to stop doing bad things to the planet. That's not going to work. It's going to have to be something far more forceful, and I don't know what it would be, but if we are going to get help, we're not going to give it to ourselves. I think we have been completely taken over by a mentality that is inimical to human nature. It's just not the same.
You know, I'd like to mention that I flew from L.A. to Chicago with Michael Rennie.
You did, and tell that again. It's a great story. What year was that, George, about?
I didn't join the Air Force until 58, and I was in uniform. I was a lieutenant. And I got on the flight, and they boosted me up to first class because I was in uniform. And sat down, and Michael Rennie was next to me. And I kind of recognized him. And we started talking, and he said, well, being that I was in uniform, that he was saying that he had done lots of work for the Air Force and worked with them on many movies and so on. And he mentioned that movie, implying that the Air Force had something to do with bringing out the movie to say the Earth stood still, which would indicate that they had knowledge of aliens visiting us and so forth, and they apparently wanted to get this information out to the public. Michael Rennie was very nice and very he talked just about the whole way, you know, about various things and different movies he's been in, and a lot of them were, you know, Air Force stuff, like how to fix a jet engine and so on.
Right.
So that he had worked with them on a regular basis doing, you might say, educational and training movies. But this was all part of it, and apparently he was tied into it.
Craig, again. Okay.
Not generally realized, but a lot of the movies about E.T. and so on have had government backing. I think they want us to know that they're here, but they want deniability.
Well, they've got that.
Yeah.
Craig, the question I wanted to ask you is it's kind of a no-brainer to people in the business, but just for our listeners, whenever a film has a strong military presence, and I mean physically on screen, men, equipment, women in uniform, combat, in other words, they've got clearly the cooperation of the Pentagon, they have to pass muster in terms of the screenplay or they don't get that help. Correct?
Well, it depends on where your financing is coming from. If you have independent financing and those financiers, if they have say or if they, you know, or if they're silent backers or if it's a studio picture. But I think, you know, even back in those earlier days, with what George just relayed with something like The Day the Earth Stood Still, I really do think that movies, you know, get made because I think they're sort of looking to judge what is the world going to think about this and what's the reaction going to be.
Exactly.
You know, one of the other most interesting thing that blew me away. I was reading a book on Desi Liu. I was doing a film called Redline at Paramount several years ago, and I was in Lucille Ball's old offices. So I picked up a Desi Liu book, and I was reading it. And when she was head of Desi Liu after Desi stepped down, she's the woman who greenlit Star Trek.
Huh. A little piece of trivia.
And Mission Impossible. Yeah, how's that for a piece of trivia?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting how all these things sort of come about, and then, you know, it only, had three seasons, and then, you know, came back as a motion picture in the 80s, that kind of thing. But, you know, now I think people are really starved for something new, you know, something truthful, something that's going to make them think and think about the possibility of these things being out there and these human beings being out there. We're not talking about little gray aliens running around. We're talking about people that look just like us, who are just like us. It's just that they're fully conscious. They're not living in a dualistic mind like we are.
When you say out there, that's not to say that they aren't down here.
That's correct. That's correct. Yes, because there's several of them that we all know that are living amongst us, walking around, working in jobs, and you know all that kind of stuff. And who's to say some of them aren't actually working in government positions?
Who's to say? Not me.
Who's to say?
I wouldn't do it. Craig Campobasso, thank you, and best of luck, Stranger at the Pentagon. I hope you get the funding you want, and I hope this is just a big film. I don't see how it could miss. If it's properly cast, would you use the same people?
I've been a casting director also for 32 years, so it'll be properly cast.
I got you. All right. Very good. Thanks. Good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Thanks, George. Thanks, Frank.
Okay.
Frank, thank you.
Thank you for being here again, Frank, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to share.
Okay, indeed. And Major Filer, thank you, sir, as always. Great to talk with you. We'll talk to you.
Anytime if you need us.
Well, anytime you let me know. I've got time this month later on. You got some things you want to do, just let me know.
Okay.
Good night, George.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and that's at hour one, and we'll be right back with hour number two in just a couple minutes.